5, Adelaide's 5AA.
Peter Godfrey.
Text 1-999-1395.
Interactive Radio. 1395, Adelaide's 5AA.
5:15 is the time, Thursday morning. 8223-0000, the interactive number. Let's head across to New Zealand. It's where our rugby team is headed already. We might be able to talk about the rugby without too much rivalry between us. Selwyn Manning from scoop.co.nz. Hi, Selwyn.
Yeah, good morning, Peter.
We can stay on good terms even though the rugby's covered up. The
blood is oh, yes, coming. Absolutely. Yeah. I think a good way of putting a solution for any problem there is always to have a wager on the other side's team. Isn't that a controversial move, eh?
Oh, yeah. Indeed. Well, I mean, what the bookies are offering for the Wallabies wouldn't be worth a wager, though. $1.28 compared to $3.50 for Australia, so...
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, the game between the Wallabies and the All Blacks is always over here is seen to be, you know, the creme de la creme. You've got to say it, you know, the two teams, they play a similar style, different but similar style, and it's always like having the two supremo teams, you know, hammering it out. Mm. There's that rivalry too. And there's a lead story in the news this morning in the New Zealand Herald News where it's saying, you know, the All Blacks are preparing mentally for this game. You know, they realise that the Wallabies, they have this kind of attitude of, the All Blacks are so what? And the All Blacks are kind of used to teams kind of being a little bit fearful of them. So they're preparing themselves to kind of steer the Wallabies down, do that haka and steer them down on Saturday here in Auckland at Eden Park.
The haka would do it for me, you know. You're just watching that on the TV, you're looking at it going, oh, I'm so terrified. I couldn't imagine being on the field taking them on.
Yeah, well, that's true. I tell you what, the All Blacks, they played the Springboks from South Africa last weekend, and they beat the Springboks, which is another intense rivalry, obviously, 40-7. So that was in favour of the All Blacks.
That'd hurt to be on the losing end of that.
Mm. Yeah, but I've seen many a game over the years where the Wallabies can turn the tables pretty easily.
Mm. Well, I did notice in one report, though, it pointed out it's 25 years since an Australian team has won at Eden Park, so maybe history's not in our favour at the moment.
Yeah, but that's true at Eden Park. It would break a long tradition. But just remember that in Hong Kong last year, the Wallabies beat the All Blacks after the All Blacks had a winning streak that went back. We couldn't remember what the last time they lost, Peter. You know,
we can go in as the underdogs. You know, Australians always good as the underdogs. So we'll go with that. Anyway, we'll talk more about it.
It's out there, isn't it?
Sorry? Say again?
It's out there.
That's it, yeah. We'll talk more about it next weekend. We can we can wrap it all up.
Maybe we can do a wager, Peter. If the Wallabies win, I can sing the first kind of lines of Waltzing Matilda, and if the All Blacks win, maybe you can sing the first lines of the New Zealand National Anthem and know your facts.
How about we do that? All right, you're on.
All right,
you're on. I better look up the words, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, let's get on to the other great competition. Of course, your big political competition coming up, your election later in the year. There was hopes there would be a pre-election debate, but that's been dashed. John Keyes, the one that's kind of come out saying, forget it, not going to be part of it?
Yep, he led the charge on this kind of welshing on this leaders' debate, for sure. The Three News, it's owned by MediaWorks and Ironbridge, which is an Australian company. Now, it organised a leaders' debate for the general elections coming up later this year. John Key, the Prime Minister, the leader of the Nationals here in New Zealand, he said, no, I'm not going to take part in that. Leaders' debate with all the other parties' leaders is just not on. He says, the only debate I'll take part in is one where I debate with Phil Goff, the leader of the opposition, the leader of the Labour Party. He said, realistically, there are only two people who are going to be Prime Minister. Possibly could make Prime Minister after this general election. That's himself or Phil Goff, so that's where the debate should lie. But, you know, many have criticised that, obviously, in the smaller parties, Peter, they just put their hands up in disgust over this type of grandstanding, in a sense. And, you know, the fact of the matter is it's a leaders' debate. New Zealand's in an MMP situation. That means that it's very unlikely that a leading party like the Labour Party or the National Party would be able to govern alone. So therefore, the parties that are around them, that they may draw close to them through a coalition, the policies of those parties are very, very important. And some are saying that John Key just simply does not want to be standing next to ex-leader Don Brash. who the ACT Party is a kind of more right-wing, economically right-wing kind of party here in New Zealand. And he doesn't want to be standing there looking like the next government of New Zealand, should it go the way the polls are showing, would be a national-led coalition with ACT Party.
Okay, yep.
Yeah. With the Labour Party, Phil Goff, he has listened to what John Key said, and he's fallen into a bit of a trap there. And he said, yep, no, if John Key's not going to turn up, I'm not going to turn up either. And so the Labour leader, he's saying that he won't turn up to a leaders' debate of all the party's leaders unless John Key kind of turns up. Now, at the same time, he's slagging John Key off for the decision. But it is a tradition that was set by the Labour leader and Prime Minister Helen Clark during the tenure of Labour in the 2000s. And in some ways, you know, you can see strategically that kind of approach does benefit, a presidential approach does benefit when you've got a strong leader that's miles ahead in the polls, but it puts at a disadvantage arguably the leader of a party that is not actually ahead in the polls. So John Key is throwing a card down there, and it does appear like Phil Goff has actually fallen into a bit of a trap.
Mm. So those debates during Helen Clark's time, were they just with the leaders, or were they with the other parties, the minor parties as well?
Well, it started off fair game with all the other leaders, but in the last election, Helen Clark made a kind of a ruling where she would only take on John Key. And it didn't work for Helen Clark in the last election, obviously.
Yes,
she lost that election.
Yeah.
Obviously, there were other things involved there. But there was an interesting comment that came out of the Green Party 2 days ago when this was discovered that John Key was going to be taking the stance. And he said, you know, that the arrogance of ruling out a debate with any other leader, he said, was something that Helen Clark did in the end of her run. And he said that arrogance was a part of, you know, a brand that turned the public off. And he said we're starting to see that from John Key now. He says, you know, what was well hidden is now starting to surface. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the smaller parties actually play that one out if they continue to kind of put that there. We do notice in the election campaigns, Peter, that as the election campaign, trudges on, that those smaller parties get a larger percentage of the vote. And on election day, they always tend to get more percentage of the vote than what they did in the polling around, say, this time in the lead-up to an election. So they are very significant. And certainly we do know that if the National Party, you know, gets in, and the polls are suggesting it is going to win the next election in November, that it would be more likely to form a coalition or an association with the ACT Party. Now, what that means to the policies here that particular coalition government would put out is very important to New Zealand. Likewise, with the Labour Party, should it steal a major win, you know, from well behind, then it would probably pull around it a series of parties, you know, maybe up to three others to actually get it over the line.
Yeah.
So that makes it very relevant on how those leaders of the Nationals and the leaders of the National Labour Party actually interact with those other leaders. And it'll be it's a kind of a thing that is stealing a little bit of information, you know, away from the New Zealand public, a bit of thinking information, perhaps.
Yeah. With both Goff and Key not going to be in this debate, will it go ahead without them, with the other parties?
No, the television network has said no, we'll pull it.
They've pulled it completely.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's a shame. So there's a bit of a scramble around going on at the moment to see if another channel will pick up the momentum. There is the state-owned channel, Television New Zealand. People would argue that it has a responsibility to present something there. So one would expect that maybe they can broker something that would pull the Prime Minister back. But the chances are, if he's made a call on that, we'll probably just have the pleasure of seeing John Key debating Phil Goff, and that'll be about it, Peter.
That's about it. you sound excited about the prospect of that.
I think more's the merrier, isn't it, in these types of situations.
All right. Now, the Green Party, they've seized the initiative and released a solution-based policy about getting 100,000 Kiwi kids out of poverty. So what's this involve?
Well, 100,000 Kiwi kids, you know, the Greens have identified that they believe that's the numbers, and that's been stacked up and supported by many groups. here that lobby for a better lot for New Zealand's kids. Now, the solution that the Greens put out yesterday, they say that it would, if you looked at it from an economic kind of point of view, and they're obviously pitching at the National Party here and Labor to kind of think along this line, that it would save around $6 billion per year in the long term. And they say it will only cost $360 million per year for this investment. Now, the solutions are fourfold here, Peter. They are, one, make working for families work for low-income families. Now, what's just in brief, what it's talking about is working for families is like a tax credit type of policy here that Labor brought in, but it excluded those that were on beneficiary, you know, that were beneficiaries and those in the very low area of income. And it was always a cringing thing to see a Labor Party do that. And Helen Clark's lot, they argued that it was for working families. And progressive politics was centering around it. Now, the Greens are saying, come on, let's take the threshold down, give these people a breakdown on the lower end. The second solution is provide better support for sole parents, solo beneficiaries. So that's self-explanatory. Raise the minimum wage to help parents, and they're saying the minimum wage should go up to $15 an hour. It's around the 13 at the moment. Mm-hmm. And the fourth, make sure rental properties are warm and healthy for kids. And there was a lot of news last night. The television networks, both channels, the main channels here, they all went into homes showing, you know, some of the most awful conditions that Kiwi kids are living in many areas, really, you know, in all cities. And that was very, very effective, you know, to bring people into a state of having some sort of empathy there. So the Greens are on to a bit of a winner there. I know the Labor Party is very warm to the idea. It's kind of Labor Party politics in a sense. And that working for families policy coming from Labor, it does appear that this one in the opposition is saying, yeah, well, we can look at these kind of points here. The Nationals, the Prime Minister John Key, he said, well, you know, I don't believe that there are that many children in poverty in New Zealand. He cited reports that suggest that those numbers just were not the case. He is saying that there's no real need to follow those types of policies that the Greens are putting out, that the government's own policies of trying to create more opportunity and wealth and employment opportunities for all people is the way to go. So that's where the debate's sitting, Peter.
All right, so definitely some differences, you know, from both sides there.
Yes.
Clearly. All right, Selwyn, thank you so much for updating us on those, and we both get our voice in good form for next week to see who's the winner and who's the loser of our little wager.
So I better get out the, you know, have a good listen to Waltzing Matilda just in case.
Yeah, absolutely. Good on you, Selwyn. Have a good week.
Mate.
And may the best team win on Saturday night.
It's always got to be the way.
Absolutely. Okay, talk to you next week. Thanks, Selwyn.
Take care. Bye.
Selwyn Manning, co-editor of scoop.co.nz, an online news publication in New Zealand. 28 minutes past five, coming up, 5:30, full update of news, sport and weather with Anne Stone, and certainly more on this situation in Sydney overnight, which thankfully came to a satisfactory conclusion. More on that.